hear me? Give me a little bit of volume. They can get mad at me. I like volume. I'm not one of these guys that like to come in here and be quiet and be dignified and sit there with your legs crossed. I like a little bit of volume. The other day, for several weeks, ever since Brother Joe called and asked me to do this, I started praying about things to preach, about what God would have me to preach. And the thing that I'm going to be preaching about tonight, it is a familiar verse of Scripture, but I could not get away from it. And I had a thought that came to me through thinking about this Scripture, and I tried to go a different way with it, and I couldn't go a different way with it. I kept getting led back to the same place. And it was 2 Chronicles chapter number 7 and verse number 14. But as I was studying last night, I started studying in a different place. I went to chapter number 6, and that's where I want you to go, is chapter number 6. 2 Chronicles chapter number 6. I was reading this scripture right here, and I ran across two verses that spoke to my heart, and I called Brother James, and I said, look at this. And we started looking through this chapter, and it started helping him, and I believe it started helping me. And before I knew it, it was 5 o'clock in the morning before I went to bed. I went in there and fixed me a whole pot of coffee, and I didn't have much sleep. And I'm going to be honest with you. There's so much right here that I could not grasp last night, that I was writing down so much stuff that I don't know if I'm going to be able to get it all out tonight. And that's what I was praying right there. I said, I don't feel prepared, God. I know there's other preachers that are more worthy to be up here. But I said, God, this service is yours. I said, God, it's yours. I can't do it alone. God, it's yours. I can't do it alone. So if I'm reading a lot, you're just going to have to forgive me. But there was so much here that I couldn't get it all in by myself. So I just started writing it all down. And I want to give you a brief overview of what happened in chapter number 5 in the latter verses, and then through the first probably 10 or 11 verses in chapter number 6. The glory of the Lord swooped through this house and filled the house that Solomon had built. God manifested His presence there, and Solomon immediately addressed the opportunity to God in a peculiar manner. In verse number 1 through 11, Solomon makes a sincere declaration of his intention in building this house to the sanctification of the people and the honor of God of whom he pleased. With the help of the Lord, we'll start in verse number 12. I'd like to preach on this thought. Somebody get a hold of God. Somebody get a hold of God. In verse number 12, and he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands. How many of you know that's the best place to get when you pray? It's down on an altar before the Lord. And he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands. For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad and 3 cubits high. And had set it up in the midst of the court, and upon it he stood and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. In verse number 14, he started to pray and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven, nor in the earth which keepeth covenant. And show us mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. Thou which hast kept with thy servant David, my father, that which thou hast promised him, and spakest with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep thy servant David, my father, that which thou hast promised him, saying, there shall not find thee a man in thy sight to sit upon the throne of Israel, yet so that thy children take heed to their way to walk in the law, as though thou hast walked before me. Now then, O Lord God of Israel, let thy word be verified which thou hast spoken unto thy servant David. But will God in very deed dwell with men among earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built? Have respect, therefore, to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O God, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry of the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee, that thine eyes may be upon this house day and night, upon the place whereof thou hast said that thou would put thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayeth toward his place. Hearken therefore unto the supplications of thy servant and the people of Israel. I want you to start paying attention right here. Which they shall make toward this. All they had to do was just look toward this place that Solomon built. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven. He was getting a hold of heaven right here. Solomon started getting a hold of God. And when thou hearest, forgive. If a man sin against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to make him swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then thou hear from heaven and do, and judge thy servants by requiting the wicked, by recompensing his way upon his own head, and by justifying the righteousness, by giving him according to his righteousness. I want you to pay attention right here, starting in verse number 24. And if thy people Israel be put to the worse before the enemy, before they have sinned against thee, and they shall return and confess thy name, and pray and make supplication before thee in his house, then hear thou from the heavens and forgive the sin of the people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest to them and to their fathers. When the heaven is shut up, and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee. Yet if they pray this place, and confess thy name, and turn from their sin, when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven, and forgive the sin of the servants, and of the people of Israel, when thou hast taught them the good way wherein they should walk, and send rain upon the land thou hast given unto the people of thy inheritance. With the help of the Lord, I'd like to preach on that thought. Somebody, go get a hold of God. Let us pray. You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, I understand that I'm unworthy, Father, to be treading in waters that I'm about to go, Father. But God, you've laid it on my heart. God, I've given you this service. God, I pray that you just help my voice. God, I ask you to anoint my mind, my heart, and my lips. Father God, I pray that you just cleanse me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. God, I know that before I can tell these people to go get a hold of you, Father, I've got to get a hold of you myself. So God, I ask you to use me as a mouthpiece. God, I ask you to speak through me. God, I ask you to hide me behind the cross. Empty me of self. And God, I ask you to fill me with your spirit. God, I plead the blood over this place like the old timers used to do. God, I ask you to bind back the demons of hell, the strongholds of hell. God, I ask you to bind them, Father. God, I ask you to put our focus upon you. And God, I ask you to help this to be the root of revival in this community, Father. God, I ask you to help me just to be a small part in the embers of revival in this community. God, we'll give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We read that prayer, and it started in verse number 24. And if thy people Israel be put to the worse before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall return and confess thy name, and pray and make supplication before thee in this house, then hear thou from heavens, and forgive the sin of the people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou hast given to them and to their fathers. I want you to turn to chapter number 7, verse number 12. Here comes the Lord's response. Verse number 24 and 25 got a response. Solomon got a hold of God. And in verse number 12, and the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night, and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, listen to this right here. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I don't know about anybody else, but I see a lot of promises there that God's given us. And when God says it, that settles it. When God settles it, that settles it. Why do we cling to that verse? I told you that verse is familiar. That verse is known to many people, maybe outside of John 3:16 and a couple other verses. This may be one of the most familiar verses in your Bible. And I started thinking, why do we cling to that? Because we are living in a country that's lost our hope in God. We are losing all hope as a nation. When Christopher Columbus came over here and our forefathers gathered together, they builded the principles upon this nation because of the Word of God. And we have gotten so far away from that. And I believe God right here, as He's, I'm not here to cause destruction. I'm not here to fuss and fight. But I believe God had His hand in this last election. And if you don't think so, then look at all the things that He's done. We could not have took 8 years of the other person that was going to, and that was in that race. She was going to try to prevent people from preaching the gospel. She was going to try to prevent what's going on right here. But I believe God came in and shook things up. And He put a man in there that's not afraid to pray. He's not afraid to get people in there that's going to pray. He's not afraid to lift up the name of Jesus and God in that White House. And I believe right before God comes back, He's putting a man up there that can shake this nation one more time if we'll just get behind Him. If my people, that's God's people. If my people, the other day I was down there and I was getting ready for church and this thing started resurrecting in my heart. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I stay trying to, you know, quiet to myself and different things, but I started thinking about if my people. That's not talking about Donald Trump. That's not talking about Hillary Clinton. That's not talking about Barack Obama. That's not talking about the Supreme Court. That's talking about people sitting right here in this church house. That's talking about God's people, those that have been on the altar somewhere that has been purchased by the price of Jesus Christ's blood. That's God's people. We have the key to revival. As soon as I did that, something came over me and I got discouraged because I realized about myself and Baptist people, we don't want to get a hold of God. We don't want to get a hold of the things of God. We don't want to get a hold of the commandments of God. We just want things to just fall into place. And we want to come into church and we want to sit there and cross our arms and bless me if you can. I'm coming here because my grandfather did, and I'm coming here because my grandmother did. I'm coming here because I've been here for 10 years. Come in here and bless me if you can. And we'll just sit there. We won't ever pray. We won't ever read our Bibles. And I'm going to be honest with you, Brother James. The other day, I was about as dead and dry as I've been in probably over a year. And I was telling Haven about it. We was having some difficulties in the relationship. And I told her, I said, Haven, I know this is a direct problem because I've not been praying. I've not been fasting. I've not been reading my Bible like I should. And I was up early in the morning. I was trying to get a hold of God because I knew this thing was not going to leave me. It was resurrecting in my heart. And I was listening to preaching, and I had called Brother James earlier in the night, and he was talking to me about different things. And I was listening to songs trying to encourage my heart, listening to other preachers that usually encourage my heart. But when it was getting up in the later hours of the night, and I couldn't call Brother James back, and when those preachers wasn't doing anything for me, when those songs wasn't doing anything for me, when Haven was asleep early in the morning, when my mother was asleep early in the morning, I got down at the end of my bed, and before I knew it, I said, God, before I can ever tell those people to go get a hold of God, I've got to get a hold of you. God, I ask you to cleanse me. God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. And before I knew it, there was tears running through my eyes, and before I knew it, I was kicking my feet like Thumper, and I was getting a hold of God. Whew, I needed that. I'm not even through the introduction yet, and I've about lost my voice. We'll get to preaching here in a minute. I believe God is shaking this nation one time before he comes back. We see that Donald Trump's came in and he's taking a stand for the name of God, taking a stand for the name of Jesus. If you can't see that the Bible is playing out right before our very eyes, then you're a fool. You need to have a spiritual checkup in your life. If you can't see that the things that's going on over in Jerusalem, over in the Middle East, people is pointing their guns straight toward Israel. But they've came in there and they've named Israel the capital of that land. Prophecy is fulfilling itself right before our very eyes. And you can take your Bible and you can open it up and it's more relevant than tomorrow's newspaper. And I believe God's using a man to shake this nation one more time before it comes back. God's saying this, if you will, I will. I believe that any moment before the sun comes up in the morning, the sun could come back again. And I'm glad that when he comes back, I'm not looking for that undertaker. I'm looking for the undertaker. Could you imagine walking down the dirt roads of Scottsboro and then in the twinkling of an eye, those people got up out of that grave and then the dead in Christ shall rise first and then we which are alive and remain shall be called up to heaven. Could you imagine walking down these streets in Scottsboro and then all of a sudden you're walking down streets of gold. You're right there in the presence of an almighty God. You're right there in the presence of the one that died for you. I'll be honest with you. There's people that I love and I want to see. I had a friend in high school. Mama called me one time. She said, Hannah died last night. I said, no, Mama, no, she didn't. But she did, and we went to that funeral, and I'm looking forward to seeing her again. We were so close. I used to walk her to class every single day. Her boyfriend and me and her brother, or his brother, was very close friends. I've got a grandfather that I've heard so much about. I've got people in my family that I love so much. An uncle, different people, a grandfather after grandfather. And there's men of God that I study behind and listen to. Brother James is going to get to see his mama again. You're going to get to see your mama again. You're going to get to see your daddy again. You're going to get to see some of you may have lost children. You're going to get to see grandma again. You're going to get to see grandpa again. But I'm going to be honest with you. There's one man more important than I am so eager to see. And that's the man Jesus Christ himself. When I get there, I don't know if I'm going to dance. I don't know if I'm going to hop. I don't know what I'm going to do. But I just hope Jesus lets me touch those nail scars in his hands. I hope he lets me run my hands across that little scar on his side where they ran that spear through his side. And I hope he lets me just tell him, thank you. There's so much going on right now that's fixing to take place before that event happens. And I believe God's trying to call his people together. And if we'll just listen to him, he said, if you will, I will. There's some promises in that verse. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their lands and will forgive their sins. There's some promises in that verse if we'll just take heed to them and if we'll just do them, if we'll get serious about God. If my people, somebody needs to go get a hold of God. Somebody needs to go ahead and get a hold of God. And before I could ever tell you to do that, I promise you, I had to go get a hold of God myself. And I'm glad that I did, because when I bowed down there, and Brother James, he wasn't there for me. And Mama, she wasn't there for me. And when a preacher, he wasn't there for me. I'm glad that there's a God that sits on high, and he looks down low. And it's almost like that he just came and wrapped his arms around me and said, I love you. I'm glad that the God of heaven that flung those moons and the stars and the galaxy, and he's the one that put the waters here, and he's the one that formed the land, and he's the one that took our breath and he breathed in this and gave us life. I'm glad that he loves us enough that he comes down to where we are when we're calling upon him and we're saying, God, I need you. God, I'm here right now. And then I believe Jesus loves us so much that he's saying, Father, do you hear that? That's one of those children that I died for. And they're calling upon us. And they're wanting us to come down and do something for them. And they're trying to get their hearts right with us. God, we've got to go answer that prayer. And I believe Jesus comes and wraps his arms around us. And what a book can't do, what a preacher can't do, what a song can't do, I'm glad that an almighty God can hear our prayers. Somebody needs to get a hold of God. Somebody needs to get a hold of God. In this text, I've already tried to tell you, I'm rushing through the notes and I didn't even realize it. We see that security of his promise. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I turn from heaven and will heal or return from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. When God says it, that settles it. God's saying right here, if you will, I will. It's just a matter of who wants it bad enough. It's just a matter of how bad do you really want it. What do you really want to do to get it? See, we always want this verse number 7, or verse number 14, but we never want to go back to chapter number 6, and we never want to get down on our knees and get a hold of God. We never want to see the manifested power of God in our churches. We never want to get truly a hold of God. We just come in here and bless me if you can, and if somebody else gets excited, I'm just going to sit there and talk about them. Well, they're fake, and they're all dignified and pretty. It ain't none of your business how somebody else praises God and worships God. Somebody's trying to get a hold of God. You just need to leave them alone. Gypsy Smith said it like this. He said, draw a circle around yourself and let yourself stay on your knees until the power of God consumes you. I wonder who it would be tonight that would draw a circle around themselves here. And we won't walk out of that door until the power of God consumes us. Until somebody gets serious about revival. We're leaving 2017 and 2016. Things have got bad in the past. But we've got a person in the White House that's allowing us to have revival. He's not going to try to take it away from us, God willing. And I believe that if Hillary would have been in there, that's a lot different. So why can't we get up here and bow on our knees and somebody get a hold of God? Somebody draw that circle around themselves and get serious about the things of God. Somebody needs to get a hold of God. We will see revival when we get desperate enough to realize that we need it. We will see revival when we get desperate enough to realize that we need it. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I'm tired of going to church and talking about that blood and talking about what Jesus Christ has done for us and people sitting there like they're a log, like they're a mule that's been eating from a briar patch for about 3 months. I'm about sick and tired of it. But you take the same people over to the ball field, and they'll be taking their shirts off and swishing them around like helicopters. They'll be painting themselves up. And I guarantee you, whenever somebody scores a touchdown, they'll be up clapping their hands and high-fiving their buddy. But I wonder when that person, the last time that somebody came up here and gave their heart to the Lord and gave their heart to Christ, and Jesus Christ snatched them out of the pits of hell. I wonder when the last time that excited you was. Does it really excite you to see somebody up here getting their life straight? Does it really excite you to know that somebody just got saved from the pits of hell? If it don't, you need to have you a spiritual checkup. You need to have your heart cleansed. You need to get a hold of God right here tonight. Does it really excite you when somebody gets saved? Somebody needs to get a hold of God. I heard a story about this preacher. He started out as an evangelist. And he went to this church and he was filling in as the pastor had already left. And the place was dead and dry. It was kind of like we're just talking about right now. People came in there and they crossed their arms and said, bless me if you can. They could preach and there was no amens and there was nobody coming to the altar. There was nobody raising their hands toward heaven. They was praising that God that people's praising now that's not the God of the Bible. And he said the next thing that he knew, he left. And he said the more that he was going in different places, God told him, he said, you're going to pastor that place. And just like some of us do, we turn our nose toward God. And he said, no, I ain't. He said, it's going to take you making me to go to that place and preach and pastor that place. And before he knew it, the deacons was calling him back and they said, sir, we think that God really wants you at this place. And he said, I tell you what, he said, let me pray about it. So he went and he prayed about that and he ended up taking that church. And just like it was when he was filling in, nothing was going on, nothing was happening in the church. People were just sitting there, nobody was moving. He could get up there and preach the house down. Nothing was happening. There was no results being made. But there was a lady in that church. And there was a lady that had a son that had got deathly sick, and she was going to have to stay at home with her son and was not going to be able to come to church anymore. But she came up to that pastor, and she said, because I love you, and because I love the Lord, I may not be able to come to this church. But she said, every single day, I'm going to get in my prayer closet, and I'm going to get a hold of God. And she said, every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, I'm going to get on my knees, and I'm going to get a hold of God. At about 6 o'clock on Sunday night, I'm going to get on my knees, and I'm going to get a hold of God. At about 6 o'clock on Wednesday night, I'm going to get on my knees, and I'm going to get a hold of God. And before you knew it, things slowly started trying to pick up a little bit in that church. And they said maybe a couple weeks, couple months went by. And they said they came in one day, it was a regular Sunday morning service, and things just started popping off. People just started coming to the altars and getting saved, one right after another. One right after another. And people was getting saved. People was getting helped. Christians rededicating their lives. Christians getting encouraged by the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the word of God. Yeah. And then they said that when that church service got over, it was about 2 o'clock in the evening. And there was a man in that church that was a sibling to that little lady that told the pastor that she was going to pray. And that little brother, he decided that he was going to run home as fast as he could. And back in that days, they didn't have Facebook and Snapchat and FaceTime and all that. So he was trying to get back to his house, and he was going to get a hold of his sister and call her and tell her what God had done during that church service. And before he ever spoke a word on that phone, that woman answered the phone, and she said, what in the world went on down there at that house this morning? She said, I got down on my knees at 11 o'clock, and she said, God never would let me get up off my knees until a little bit after 2 o'clock. Because, see, she had already told that preacher that I'm going to get on my knees, and I'm not going to get up until the burden lifts. And then when she got on her knees that day, God wouldn't let her get up till a little bit after 2 o'clock. People was getting saved. People was getting help. People was getting changed. There was revival breaking out in that place, and it lasted about 2.5 years off and on during that place. And it wasn't because of the preacher. It wasn't because of that church. It wasn't because of the song director or the piano player. And I'm thankful for all of those positions. We need them. But it was because somebody decided that they was going to get on their knees and they was going to call out to God and they was going to get serious about getting a hold of God for the church, for people to get saved, for the revival to happen. I wonder who that person would be tonight. What it started me, I said something the other day. I said, God, help me to be a small ember of the revival that happens in this community. And I've already made up my mind. As dead and as dry as I get, I'm going to pray for revival. When I surrender to preach, I asked God, I said, God, give me a burden for revival. God, give me a burden for sinners. And God, give me a burden for my generation. Because if somebody don't go after our generation, nobody will. Right. The world's already pumping all this money into them. I seen something the other day. One of these big-name singers, they had up on the concert, or on the stage there, they had upside-down crosses. And I understand that's how Paul died, because he did not feel worthy to die like Jesus Christ. But in today's world, that's a sign of anti-Christianity and all that goes along with that. And they've got these young people watching that person. And they've got these young people celebrating that person. But I'm telling you, if somebody don't go get after them, the devil's already got his hand in this generation. I'm going to have to start running. I can't keep preaching like this. My stomach's already hurting. Somebody needs to go get a hold of God. Next, we see the requirements in the promise. Right here, we see some praying that's going on. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. We need somebody that's going to get in that circle. Somebody that's going to get serious. Somebody that's going to get clean. Somebody that before you go tell somebody else to get a hold of God, that you're already getting a hold of God. The next thing we see is purity in this text. It says in there, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There was a revival up there in North Carolina. Me and Brother James went up there one day, and the first week of that thing, I took off work and I went. And it was strange. It was something like I've never seen before. It wasn't something like what's going on around here where we just come into church and we just sit there and we just let the preacher preach and we let whoever sings, sings, and we go out the back door and we talk about them. But before the first note was ever played, there was a guy that came up to me and he said, something's about to happen in this place. I never met that guy before. He said, there was a man that came up to me and he said, I've never met you, but he said, I've seen you around. He said, I've had bitter thoughts and bitter feelings toward you. He said, but I want to make it right now before you ever enter this church house. And before, it was 2 or 3 days, I don't even know if the preacher got to preach, but it was just people coming to the altar. They were singing, but most of the time there was just people flooding to the altars and praying and getting right before God. And then you would see this person go plumb to the other side of that tent and make it right with that person. Yeah. And then you would see somebody in the back come up here to the front and hug somebody's neck and say, I've thought this about you for 10 years now. He said, I just want to make things right between me and you. And between me and God, before anything can ever happen, it's going to take somebody getting clean. Yeah, it's going to take somebody getting serious. There was one thing, there was two ingredients that I seen in that church, in that revival. Yeah. It was a unity within the brethren in prayer. Yeah. And then it was a unity within the brethren with the same burden.
Yeah.
See, that church had been meeting for about 15 years every single Monday night.
Yeah.
And they wasn't having business meeting. They didn't come in and sing special songs. They didn't even come in and preach. But they came in and they gathered around the altars. And they didn't pray for the sick, and I'm all for that. But they came with one goal on their mind, and that was to pray for revival. And then that place, they came in there and they was having just a 2 or 3 day revival like we do around here. And something started happening inside that church. There was people getting saved and there was people getting helped. People started flooding in that place and they extended it another week and they extended it one more week. And before they knew it, the fire marshal came in there and he said, if you don't stop this thing, then we're going to shut it down. They said, you've got so many people that if a fire ever happened in here, you cannot get all the people out. But I'm glad that when the fire falls inside somewhere of God, that you can get all those people in and you can do something with those people and people start getting saved.
Amen.
I'm glad that a physical fire can't keep the people out.
Amen.
Whenever the fire of God falls down in a place.
Amen.
You've come by too late to tell me that God can't, because I've seen the too many results of prayer. I've seen too many results of people unifying together and one burden for revival. I've seen it. I've experienced it. Brother James, he's experienced it in the raw presence of God where people, 30, 40, 50, 60, all the way up to 120 people getting saved each and every night. There's something real. There's something shaking. If God's people would just get right with themselves, if God's people would just get right with Him, and if God's people will start praying for this one thing. If my people, that's us, we have the key. The brethren isn't our enemies. That same granny that I was telling you about a minute ago, maybe it was a different one. But there was one of them, they was some deacons and different men in the church, and they was coming in and they was trying to discuss how the church service was going to go. And they was saying, well, they was kind of bickering about how they thought it was going to go. Well, I think so-and-so should sing this song. No, we're not really feeling that one today. And I think we should pray during this time. And I think we should take up the offering during this time. But there was two grannies that were sitting on the front row. And they heard this conversation and they bypassed them men. And they said, you can stay there and bicker if you want to. But we're going to gather around that altar. And we're going to get a hold of God and see what God wants in this service. And before you knew it, just like a minute ago, people started getting saved. People started getting help. People started getting encouraged. People started, their lives were getting changed because two grannies said, I don't care about you bickering. I don't care about what you think. But we're going to get a hold of God to see what He wants. God is saying this, if you will, I will.
Amen.
I wonder who it would be tonight. There was another granny I think it was the same one as one of those that came to the altar that bypassed those men. They was in a different service, and the church service was dead. It was dry. It was about as dead and dry as cracker juice. And they said that this little granny was sitting up on the front row. And the preacher came up there, and he was about to preach. Didn't have a clue what to do. It was dead and dry. He didn't know if he could change things in that place. But said about that time, they heard somebody over there, and she was lifting her hands toward heaven with her eyes closed, and she was going, "Woo!" And she was lifting her hands toward heaven. And before you knew it, she was doing it again. "Woo! Woo!" And before you know it, that preacher, it was getting a hold of him, and it was helping him. So he took the microphone down there, and that little granny was so involved with getting a hold of God that she didn't realize that preacher was right there in front of him. And he was holding that microphone right there where everybody could else hear her going, "Woo! Woo!" And before you know it, people was just flooding to the altars.
Yeah.
There wasn't nobody singing during that time. There wasn't nobody preaching during that time. There was just a little granny, and she was getting a hold of God. I wonder who it would be tonight that would gather around these altars and get a hold of God. I'm not the best preacher. I've been only doing this thing since March. I know Brother David and there's Brother James and Brother Brandon and different people in this church. They can preach a lot better than me. But they've called me and they've asked me to come, and this is what's on my heart. And I hope it's encouraging you, and I hope it's blessing you. God's not interested in fancy outlines. God's not interested in 2 or 3 day meetings. We can have those. We're having a lot of them. There's people having so-called revivals almost every week. You can almost pick you a place and go to one. But I'm talking about the revival when people's getting revived, truly revived. God's people's getting changed. People's getting recharged. People's getting rejuvenated. And sinners are getting saved by the groves. That's the revival we're talking about here. We're not talking about just another meeting. We don't need just another meeting. I've heard it said like this. We don't need to worry about what it's going to cost to have revival. We need to worry about what it's going to cost if we don't have revival. And if we're going to have revival, it's going to be a revival of repentance. And it's going to start right here. It's not going to start in the White House. It's not going to start in the state capitol. It's not even going to start down here at Scottsboro at the town hall. It's going to have to start right here in the house of God. It don't have to be just right here at Pathway. It don't have to be right over there at Bible Baptist. It don't have to be just at Woods Cove. But if God's people will just gather together and humble themselves and pray and unify together as one people, as a group, when God died, or when Jesus Christ died, He purchased the church with His own blood.
Amen.
We are a group. We are not enemies of each other. The brethren is not our enemies. So if we would just gather together and put our petty differences and put our petty thoughts and different things aside and say, "I'm after one goal, and that's to seek God for revival. I'm after one goal, and that's to get a hold of God." I believe God would send the rain. I believe God would send the rain. Somebody tonight needs to get a hold of God. As the musicians are coming, I'm almost done. We see the reality of His promise. We see the requirements in this promise. Then we see the revival in the promise. God wants His people to get right with Him and get a hold of Him, seek His face, and turn from their wicked ways. I wonder who it would be tonight. As we stand to our feet, we're playing something softly. I'm going to pray, and then I want to read one more thing, and then we'll have the invitation. Dear Heavenly Father, I've done my best to lay what you've, or to present what you've laid on my heart. God, I understand that I'm unworthy. God, I understand that I'm incapable. God, this is what you've laid on my heart, and God, I pray that you just anoint this invitation. Help me first before I can ever reach out to these people, Father, to get a hold of you, to get a burden, a true burden for revival. And God, I pray that you just use me. God, you've laid things on my heart for my life, and God, I ask you to help me to trust you with them. God, help me not to listen to nobody else but to listen to your voice. God, I thank you for who you are. And God, I thank you for your promise that when you said, if your people, which are called by your name, will humble themselves and pray, then will you hear from heaven and heal our land. God, I ask you to do it. And God, I ask you to help me to start in me. God, thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to read the lyrics to a song that I came across. God is faithful to hear his children. Victories will come our way. He cannot send them until we ask him. Somebody needs to pray. Somebody go get God. Somebody go get God. Tell him we're thirsty. Beg him for mercy. Will somebody go get God? We have a promise from Holy Scripture, one that makes God's children brave, that if we seek him, while we can find him, we can move his hand today. Seems we're losing to Satan, even losing our children. But there's still hope at Calvary. If we all share these burdens, somebody go get God. Somebody go get God. Tell him we're thirsty. Beg him for mercy. Will somebody go get God? And here's what I want to happen. Those that are serious, I'm going to ask you to come gather around these altars and say, God, let it start in me. But if you're not serious, you might as well stay in your seat.